From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the Supreme Court decision allowing some companies to opt out of contraceptive coverage for their employees is now leading some gay rights group to pull their support for an anti-discrimination law. We'll hear from one of them.
But first, to the air war in the Middle East. Hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza, the Palestinian territory controlled by the militant group Hamas. Israel intercepting most of those rockets and launching airstrikes on Gaza that have hit hundreds of targets. At least 35 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, reportedly mostly civilians. Many more have been injured. No Israelis have been reported killed, largely because of those interceptions. But the rockets from Gaza are longer range than in the past, covering much the length of Israel, and sending Israelis scrambling for cover under the wail of air raid sirens. Today, NPR's Ari Shapiro visited the area near the border between Israel and the Gaza Strip on the Mediterranean coast, and we caught him during his hour or so drive back to Jerusalem. So, Ari, we know you spoke to an Israeli military spokesperson. Tell us about that and what it's like near the border.
Right. We met with Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner, who's an Israeli military spokesman, and we met with him at the site of the Iron Dome, which is a missile defense system Israel has deployed, which is one of the reasons, the military says, that there have been no Israeli deaths so far. You could actually see kind of smoke trails through the sky ending in a little white puff, which is where these rockets from Gaza had been intercepted by Iron Dome. And Lieutenant Colonel Lerner told us that this technology sort of allows Israel to hold back perhaps a little more in its response than it might otherwise have to, because there are not Israeli deaths. They are not compelled to respond in as forceful a way as they might be otherwise. So he said if it weren't for the Iron Dome, then the Israeli response would be even tougher than it has been.
What do we know about what's going on from where those missiles are being launched in the Gaza Strip behind the border?
Well, our producer in Gaza visited a family. The kids were traumatized. They were scared. There are plumes of smoke and booms everywhere. He said it's like a ghost town today. Yesterday, there were people out in the street and the markets. Today, there are no cars. There are no pedestrians. Everybody is afraid, just not knowing where the next strike is going to come. And unlike in southern parts of Israel, Jerusalem, even Tel Aviv, in Gaza, there are not the kind of shelters, the concrete structures where people can run for cover. And so people are just sort of sheltering in their homes, hoping for the best.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner has been sort of the face of this offensive. He's been speaking to American television, sounding very tough. The image that's coming across is that Israel is definitely hounding the Palestinians for those rocket launches. Did he talk about that?
He pointed to a statement from last week where Israel said to Hamas, calm will be met with calm, peace will be met with peace. As he described it, Israel has no choice but to respond to rocket fire into Israeli lands. He says Israel does not want to mobilize ground troops, does not want to stage an incursion into Gaza, and hopes that it doesn't have to. Nevertheless, the call-up of 40,000 reserve troops has been authorized. 15,000 reserve troops have actually been called up so far. They are going to areas in the north and the east in order to relieve the active duty forces to prepare for a possible ground incursion in Gaza. And Lieutenant Colonel Lerner says they don't want to have to do it, but they are prepared to do it if that's where this goes next.
Meanwhile, there are reports in the papers, Palestinians being quoted as saying that some of the homes that were hit in Gaza actually got phone calls warning them to get out of the house that a strike was coming.
That's right, and that's something that Lieutenant Colonel Lerner confirmed today. He said the Israeli military calls homes and says, this is about to be hit, leave. He said they even do something called door knocks, which are missiles without ammunition that sort of funk on the roof to say, one with ammunition is coming next, so get out of the building. He says this is all an effort to minimize casualties in the Gaza Strip. But if you talk to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, they say the hospitals are full of wounded people, many of whom are civilians.
Well, meanwhile, yesterday we spoke with Daniel Estrin, who's also reporting for NPR in Israel. He mentioned a bus of Israelis going to offer condolences to the Palestinian family of that young boy who was killed, apparently in revenge for the three Israeli teens who were killed. And as we hear in your reporting on NPR, you were there in Jerusalem for that visit when they arrived. That was really quite something. Could you tell people who might not have heard what you saw?
Right. We arrived before the Israeli visitors came, and we spoke to the family of the murdered teenager, Mohammed Abu Khader. And the family said, we don't want to greet any Israelis. We are being distorted and used for propaganda, and they're not welcome here. And then the bus pulled up, and the Israelis pulled out, and they lined up to offer their condolences, and the family greeted them. The family told us, as Arabs, we have a culture of hospitality. Guests in our home are welcome in our home, and we're going to treat them graciously whether we want them here or not. There was a very sort of tense, awkward moment. One of the Israeli women had brought dates and coffee. Her gift was rejected. But then slowly, the people started talking, sitting with each other. And I wouldn't say that it was a kumbaya moment, happy ending, but by the end, these people were crying together, and the woman who had brought the dates and coffee came up to me at the end of the visit and said a woman accepted her gift and even gave her a hug and a kiss.
A very powerful moment, and yet, as you said, it's not one that's going to overcome this current crisis. What do you think will?
It's hard to say what will overcome this crisis. In 2012, there were 8 days of fighting that led to a 2-year ceasefire. Most of the people we talk to in Israel are hoping not for a permanent peace, but just for another ceasefire that might buy them more time. In the Gaza Strip, hopes are not much higher than that either.
NPR's Ari Shapiro in Israel. Thank you so much, Ari, for your reporting.
Good to talk with you.